Pacifico, Bill Hendrick.
Barack Obama is a liar.
He's across the state, we traveled today.
It is a horror show. If you've never seen it, it's about a high school.
Everybody was kung fu fighting.
Did you tell me one thing, Tom?
I think that's pretty gay.
World famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. A news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch. And like that. This is radio for patriots, by patriots. Where we keep marching inexorably across the... And when I say inexorably, Bud, that doesn't mean... It's got nothing to do with skin problems, you know?
All right.
Boy. But we keep on marching and we keep on keeping on, man, across the heads of these soft... liberals, progressives, those that would weaken the country just so they can have it nice and soft. And we don't believe in that any more than you do, and that is why this radio show has had no choice. We've had no choice. We've had to be on the air here with you each and every night until 1 on the West Coast, 4 on the East Coast. We're very happy you've joined us here this evening on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. President Obama's birth certificate is out, and yet there are still unsatisfied critics. Are you one of them? Orly Tates, I think, was on one of the shows. I don't know who she was talking to. I think it was O'Donnell over there on MSNBC. And you know that O'Donnell, being a card-carrying liberal, a member of the Hollywood establishment, you know that he was going to have a thing or two to say to her, and it was quite a happening. So we'll be hearing some of that audio. We'll get into what they're arguing about. Superman renounces his U.S. citizenship in the latest comic book issue. He renounces his U.S. citizenship. Superman. It's not a big thing. He's a fictitious superhero personage, but it still bothers me a lot. Atheists want better support in the military, and we're going to be talking with Dr. Jim Sadler about the possibility, get a load of this, of atheist chaplains. Are you ready for that?
That's impossible.
I don't know. We're going to find out from Jim Sadler later on. Plus, we'll tell you why you might not want to sing Kung Fu Fighting, while in the United Kingdom, that is. Lloyd Bonafide, Dr. Jim Sadler, will be with us here in a moment. Mr. Bonafide, a former resident of Iowa, the Midwest, the Tornado Alley, as they call it, is going to be on to talk with us about his experiences and what a devastating, devastating few hours, 48 hours, the people of the Alabama and some stretches of Tornado Alley, what a time they have had. Our affiliate spotlight tonight in Dallas, KFXR, 1190 AM, and in Warrenton, Virginia, WKDL, 1250 AM. And, of course, the Phil Hendry website, philhendryshow.com. We're live streaming video of our show is right now. We're on Phil TV in HD. Behind me is the roaring surf of the El Pacifico. And I don't know whether you guys that are watching us right now on Phil TV, you can see the hellacious surf that we have right now. There's a little bit of a calm, but you can see this is a very, very high surf that we've got out on the Pacific coast tonight, and people that are watching us on Phil TV and HD can see a really churning Pacific Ocean, and these are some super, super serious waves that have been banging the coast out there this afternoon. So if you want to get a look at that, join us over here tonight. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-PHIL. And as we mentioned, a devastating time for some people in our country who are having to contend with these tornadoes. U.S. meteorologists, by the way, warned on Thursday it would be a mistake to blame climate change for this seeming increase in tornadoes in the wake of deadly storms that have ripped through the U.S. South. So, in other words, our scientists, our meteorologists, in addition to the good work that they do in trying to warn us as to the reality of life, you know, the reality of life, just what's really happening, all right? Not only do they have to tell us, you know, and God bless them for doing it, telling us what's real, then they got to go out and they got to dispel fantasy land. Now they got to, you know, so they got to go and knock on Mother Goose's door and get her to shut up. Mother Goose, otherwise known as Al Gore. So they don't have enough to do. And doing the great work that they do. Now they got to, excuse me, Mr. Former Vice President, would you mind shut? You know, there's a lot of people that get worried about this stuff. So quit playing it like it's, like you're on scare tactics. And if you haven't seen that show, oh, baby.
Yeah, I saw that. It's pretty scary.
It isn't scary so much as that I feel bad for those people. Anyway, the meteorologists warning that this has nothing to do with climate change. It has nothing to do with the... it has nothing to do with the so-called global warming or any of this other jazz. It has to do with just the unfortunate aspect, the reality of this kind of weather. Tornadoes and violent storms ripped through seven southern states, killing at least 284 people in the country's deadliest series of twisters in nearly four decades. This cluster of powerful tornadoes, more than 160 reported in total, combined with storms to cut a swath of destruction heading west to east. Over several days in some areas, whole neighborhoods were flattened, cars flipped, trees and power lines leaving tangled wreckage. And what a horrible, horrible situation in terms of the loss of life there in those parts of the country, as I mentioned, in the southeast and some of the southern states there in Tornado Alley. Joining us now on the Phil Hendry Show is Lloyd Bonafide. Mr. Bonafide is a resident now of Alhambra, California. For a brief time, though, he was living in what we call the Tornado Alley section of the country in Walcott, Iowa. And Mr. Bonafide joining us by telephone from Alhambra tonight. How are you doing this evening, sir?
Yes, sir. Doing well. We feel very badly for the people that have suffered so in these storms that have...
Of course.
The storms that have taken place.
Where did you live, Walcott?
We lived in Walcott, Iowa, after I'd gotten out of the Navy, where I married my wife, and I had my first business there. And I lived there for about 3 years before we moved to California. And in the time that I was there with my wife, and this was during the period of the late 50s all the way through the early 60s, we probably had every year, on an average year, you'd see or you would be in some way in the proximity of a half a dozen serious twisters, tornadoes.
Uh-huh.
And this was a normal thing. And I wanted to say to your listeners, Mr. Hendry, who may be listening in that part of the country, that one of the worst things you can do, and I don't want to comment on the terrible situation.
No, I don't either. Let's keep this really about your experience.
Well, I just simply want to say that one of the worst things you can do is to give the appearance that you're running out, that you're leaving your property, that you're leaving your belongings, that you give the appearance that you are not sticking to it, you know. And there were an awful lot of there was a lot on the news in those days where you'd see people getting into their cars and leaving and getting into their, you know, we had in those days station wagons and leaving, and you'd see these crowds of people. And I saw that on television one day, and I said to my wife, I said, you know, we have so much to be thankful for, and we've built so much in this home.
Right.
That I will not let this...
I know you're a little emotional, sir.
Yes, sir. I'm not going to make it, let it drive me out.
So what did you do?
Well, the first thing that I said to my wife, and I went to a lot of the neighbors that we knew, and we knew quite a few of them, I said, you know, the chances of us getting hit by one of these tornadoes is very, very slim. They look very daunting. If you've ever seen one, Mr. Hendry, of course, you've seen them in the news.
Yeah, just looking at them on film or videotape, they look frightening.
They are very daunting looking, but when you realize that all it is wind, it's just a rapidly moving air, and the chances of it actually striking your home are very, very slim. And the idea that you're going to be presenting to the nation the look of a man who's being run off his own property by this tornado, I said to my wife, and I talked to a number of my neighbors, and I said, it's better that we stay. And that's exactly what we did. Through the next three storm seasons, there wasn't a one of us that actually got into our cars or evacuated our homes.
Now, isn't there some kind of a law in place, like in other places, where there's mandatory evacuation?
There were at times, I believe there were two mandatory evacuations, but I told the fire department and the police department, I said, you know, you're knocking on the wrong door, because there's no way I'm leaving this home. There's no way I'm leaving a home that I have worked and that I have sweated and that I have bled for all these years. You guys are at the wrong house. I said, shove off. And I remember saying that to this one cop. He said, sir, we need to... I said, you and your little friend there, he had another police officer with. I didn't mean to be rude to the police officer, but I wanted to make a statement.
Uh-huh.
And I said, you and your little friend get in your little play car there. And I respect the police very much, Mr. Henry. I don't want it to be felt that I don't. But I was making a statement along with my neighbors. We were not going to let a tornado run us off and show us up and make us look as if we were panicked and frightened refugees. So I said to the police officer, I said, take your little toy car and take your little, you know, uniform and go off and play cops and robbers with somebody, okay? Don't bother me.
And you say you respect the cops. That's a hell of a thing to...
Well, I was very scared. So I told this cop to get lost, and for three seasons now...
So in other words, none of these tornadoes came near your home?
None came near my home. None came near Jim Purcell's home. Al Jones was another friend of mine that I'd had in the Navy who moved into the same neighborhood. We lost two families one year, but again, and I feel very bad for that. But again, the average that was basically this: two families over 6 years.
Well, I mean, that's not really. Boy, I'll tell you, I don't know whether or not that's an average that I want to advertise. You know,
I said to everyone, I said, don't go anywhere. I'm still here. The fact of the matter is, Mr. Henry, you have a higher percentage of making it if you don't leave your home. If you stay in your home and you let the tornado, it's not going to come near you. Because I think what happens with a tornado is the tornado sees, or it doesn't see, but the tornado is going where there is a lot of vulnerable and where there's a lot of, I don't know how to put this, where the vulnerability is the highest. A tornado tends not to go where people have decided they're going to tough it out.
Well, what does that mean, sir? You're telling me the tornado has some kind of... You're not telling me the tornado has some kind of awareness?
No. Of course, I'm not saying that at all. All I'm saying is, I got outside my house, I put my hands on my hips, I looked toward this tornado, and I wasn't talking to the tornado, but I was talking to myself, and I was talking to anyone that would hear me, and I said... And I pointed at it, and I said to it, you go to hell. I said this to the tornado, not that it was going to hear me, but I did. I said, you go to hell. And I did that for 6 years.
What are you telling me then, sir? You're telling me that you, if you stay in your house...
If you stay in your home and you don't go...
The average, the chances of a tornado getting you are very, very slim.
Yes, sir. And it, you increase your chances... If you simply have the attitude that the tornado could go straight to hell. Now, I'm not saying the tornado hears you. I'm not saying it has a consciousness. None of that. But you've got to get in your mind. And again, I won't comment, but I think you'll be safest if you have that attitude.
Well, I don't know how that practically defends anyone, you know.
Well, but you have my example. I never was hurt by a tornado. My wife wanted to leave one year, and I said to her, you're not going anywhere. And I know it sounds as if I kept her against her will, but what I did do was I gave her the guts, to tough it out, as I did. And
what is that all about, though? Because when you say the chances are you're not going to get hurt, all you need to be is wrong once. You know that?
Am I talking to you on the phone right now, sir?
All you need to be is wrong once.
Am I talking to you on the phone right now, sir?
Yes, sir, you are.
Okay. So what that says is, when the tornadoes came into my town, and you can say what you want about this, I would say you go straight to hell.
All right. Hang on the line here. Lloyd Bonafide from Alhambra, California, a native of Walcott, Iowa, who was in the tornado alley through an early part of his marriage, and says the best thing you can do is to stay there, not be intimidated by the tornado, and sort of, you know, just kind of have an attitude like the tornado can go to hell. You just heard what he said. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, and we're talking to Lloyd Bonafide, a Navy veteran, a Korean War veteran, about his experiences with tornadoes. They're nothing to fool around with. They're nothing to stand with your hands on your hips and say, you go to hell to. This is this man's attitude, but I don't want anybody getting hurt. That's a very, very important consideration of this radio show. We'll be back with Lloyd Bonafide here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. The Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
World famous Phil Hendry Show. Be back with Lloyd Bonafide in a moment, a man who survived and experienced a great many tornadoes in his home in Iowa back in the early days of his marriage. He's a Navy veteran, a Korean War veteran, is speaking with us about he and neighbors sort of banding together and refusing to leave and staring the tornado in the eye and essentially saying, making the statement to each other, to themselves, to the nation at large, that they're not going to be run off. I don't know whether I agree with that. First up, though, we want to tell you about a great sponsor of ours. You guys know about the great micro-energy shot called Dynapep. Just 4 milliliters, less than a teaspoon. There's no sugar. There's no crash. There's no jitters. There's just 2 calories. And I think did I say there was no caffeine? Yes, there's caffeine.
Yeah, but it's really healthy and everything.
It is very healthy. As a matter of fact, I'm going to get my Dynapep shot out here in a moment. I always do my Dynapep shot in the evening. And we will tell you that it is all very, very good stuff. As a matter of fact, it will keep you up and keep you going and feeling good for 10 hours. Gives you 10 times the power. Dynapep Micro Energy Shot gets you through the night. You're focused, you're alert, and it keeps you going when you've been up all night as well. Again, no sugar, no crash, no jitters, and only 2 calories. So get Dynapep, okay? Dynapep, it is the best micro energy shot out there, and it's available right now at 7-Eleven. Hey, head over to the 7-Eleven store right now and pick up Dynapep. Phil Hendry Show here, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Lloyd Bonafide in Alhambra, California, as we continue this discussion on tornadoes. And Lloyd, I'm having a difficult time following you a little bit here when you say that you didn't want to show fear.
You have to understand. As you mentioned, I'm a Korean War veteran, and as a war veteran, as a combat veteran, it's difficult for me to be around a lot of people that are running away from something. It's just something that we, as veterans, we don't like to see a lot of people piling into their cars and running out. My wife, that one spring, as I mentioned to you, my wife was hysterical and had to be hospitalized because I kept her in the house. But she learned.
And your wife was what?
I told you, producer, that my wife had been hospitalized because I wouldn't let her leave when we had a particularly vicious storm bearing down on our home. And it was a funnel cloud. And you could see the debris that was being kicked up by it. And it was quite a significant and daunting thing. But I had told you I'd walked out in the yard area there. You could feel the wind, and you could feel the barometric pressure changing. But I went out, and I looked at that, and I said, you could go straight to hell. I was talking to the tornado. Now, not that it could hear. I'm not saying it could hear me. I was saying this for me. My wife darted for the car. I grabbed her, and I pulled her back into the house.
And your wife was trying to get away.
What's that, sir?
Your wife was trying to get away.
Yes. Was running out, and I told her, I said, you look at that and tell it to go to hell.
And well, okay, but you did you kidnap your wife?
No, hold on for a minute here. I didn't kidnap anyone or anything. I told my wife that I don't marry women that run out. Like, you see, I was a Korean War veteran.
No, I understand that, sir. You told me that your wife was hospitalized as the result of you not letting her leave.
She had a nervous condition, but I told her, as I told my neighbors, if we look at that tornado and we say it can go to hell, it can burn in hell, as if it was a human, it was a human being, it would give us the strength to last out this storm. That's all I say.
All right, sir. We'll be back with Lloyd Bonafide and your phone calls, too, at 877-876-PHIL. And this is a piece of significant information that this man wants to stare down a tornado to stay in his neighborhood, even if it means keeping his wife from leaving as well, which I did not know about. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
Go to hell.
Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back to the Phil Hendry Show, and we have with us Lloyd Bonafide, a former resident of Walcott, Iowa, his hometown. He's a Navy veteran, moved to California. We're talking about his days in Iowa when he was first married, and a very unusual and, sounds to me, extremely dangerous method of dealing with hurricane or tornadoes, rather, and that was to stay in the house. I just want to alert those of you who are watching Phil TV. You can see that beautiful bouquet of flowers there. One of our sponsors is ProFlowers, and they sent me these tulips, a bouquet of tulips. And you can see these are 2 days into the being in the vase here on our Phil TV webcast. Watch these for a solid week. When we say they stay fresh for a week, I ain't kidding you. All right, 877-876-PHIL. Lloyd Bonafide on the line with us. Let's get a phone call up here very quickly. Jeffrey in San Antonio, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Lloyd Bonafide. Go ahead, sir.
You know, the guy on y'all been talking to, I think he's kind of crazy. Because he can't tell a tornado to go to hell. He might walk out there and tell it, but it ain't going
to listen. I didn't say that you can tell a tornado to go to hell. I said I told it, or I told myself this, you know, sometimes, if you've ever been in the military, just saying something, you know, when we march or something, it gives you some confidence. Now,
okay, a tornado's going to touch down anywhere damn well pleases. It can touch down here and jump up and touch down two houses later. What you going to do?
It's not going to come near my house, and I'll tell you something. I lived there for 6 years, and I told my neighbors, I said, don't you move. And, one family was killed.
Well, that's not a very good average. One family was killed.
Am I talking to you right now, sir? The gentleman on the phone, am I talking to you, Jeffrey? Am I talking to you, Mr. Hendry? I'm telling you that it's true because I said I'm not leaving.
What about your wife who was very frightened and wanted to get out of there?
What about her? Is she calmed down?
She was hospitalized.
Yeah, hospitalized. What's up with that? You know, you could avoid it there. You know, if my wife wants to leave, I'm going to be right behind her. I'm behind my wife.
Well, sir, I will tell you this. If I saw a man running off with the women, I'd be disgusted. And my feeling is very simply this. You tell that tornado to go straight to living hell. And I stood there with my hands up.
He might send you to hell if you don't, if he touches your house, if he goes to your house.
What, the tornado? If I looked at that tornado and I said, you could go straight to hell with any tornado that's behind you.
Well, are you talking to the tornado or are you not?
Oh, of course not.
It sounds like you're talking to the tornado to me.
Jeffrey, I don't know your history or what, if you have problems. Why does it sound like I'm talking to it if I tell you that I'm not? I stood in front of the tornado this is 1964, and I was a 31-year-old man. And I said to this tornado, you can go down to the devil. And I'm telling you, as God is my, as sure as God was born on Christmas Day, that tornado stopped and it backed up. Now, what do you say to that? Do you call me crazy?
It could be a coincidence because that tornado can just come straight for you. You never know what.
That's exactly
that's
right.
Nature.
Are you telling me that if I stand out there and I see a tornado and what about a freight train?
Oh, don't be an ass. I'm not talking about a freight train. I'm talking about something that has no real path. The tornado doesn't know where it's going. It doesn't even know why it's doing what it's doing. It's just
okay.
Doing.
Like I said, it's acting nature. It is went up back up now. You just have an coincidence. You said go to hell. It went back up. Okay, it came right back down. 2 seconds later, and touched down right on top of your house.
Easy to say, isn't it? Easy to say, a coincidence, but I've got 6 years of telling tornadoes to go straight to hell, and there's not a one of them that ever laid a finger on me.
Okay, I'm still very concerned. You know, I'm still very concerned.
Oh, what do you mean lucky? You know what? That's the cheapest thing to say a guy's lucky. Why don't you just say it? I'm good. And I'd rather be good than lucky.
What are you good at? What are you good at? Thank you very much for your call, Jeffrey. What are you good at? And beside the point, no comment yet about how you frightened your wife.
You know what, Mr. Henry, that's my wife, and I loved that girl my whole life. From the time I was 18 years of age, from the time I said goodbye to her and I shipped off the United States Navy from San Diego, California, and I came back to her, and when she was going to run out on me, I told a tornado, and I said to her,
You grabbed her and dragged her back into the house. The girl was this girl, your wife, was hospitalized because of some sort of nervous exhaustion.
Yeah, because she was weak, and it was disappointing to me because she was weak. And I told her, as I told my neighbors, I said, "All of you can go to hell along with the tornado if you can't stand here and look at nature and say this is my home. This is where I'm going to live."
877-876-7445. Phil Henry here as we talk to Lloyd Bonafide, who is talking about tornadoes and the fact that people that run away from them are sending the wrong message. Here is, I believe it's Rod in Fresno. Rod, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead with Lloyd Bonafide.
Actually, I'm in Corthgold, and
yes, sir.
I lived in Norman, Oklahoma for 39 years. And we dealt with tornadoes every year for three or four months, sometimes even out of the season. Okay.
Yes, sir.
I know one thing from NOAA weather research is that structures will create a vacuum, and they will pull a tornado towards them.
I realize that.
And the only thing that can make a tornado go off course is when it does hit a structure. It's just like when you're spinning a top.
Except when you open the window, hold on, because when you open the windows, as I do at my home every year, I would take a chair if I had to, and I would bust those windows out.
It doesn't matter. You still got a sealed-up attic up there. You've got a barn. You've got lots of things that build up pressure. Your hot water tank.
And your hot water tank is not a vacuum.
Everything. The radiators in your car. Your gasoline tank.
All that building up pressure to go to hell.
Wait a minute. Will you listen to what the young man's saying?
No, but he says that the house is a vacuum. Is he hot?
I'm making sense. I'm trying to make sense. Can he stop while I explain a little bit more?
Yes. Go ahead, sir.
Okay. I was missed by about a quarter mile from the biggest tornado in history. In 99, in Moore, Oklahoma, City, Dell City, the biggest tornado in history. I've seen what it does. I stood out there and looked in the middle of the path of destruction, and I've seen that it went towards different buildings. And when it got out into nowhere in a pasture, it went in a straight line right to the next
what you just said was development. The tornado went into the house. Did you hear what you just said?
When the tornado hit the next housing development, it also went in a very erratic path. My question is, when you said this to the tornado, did it just hit a house? When it turned around and alters its course, did it just hit a house? Did it just hit a barn? Did it just hit a grove of trees?
No, it was in the middle of an open field. And I said, you could go to hell with all the little tornadoes that you make every year. And it stopped. And I know you guys are going to think I'm crazy when I say this, but it looked confused. All right?
And you think you did that? Tornadoes are completely erratic. They go off air dress. They go off warm air dress, cold air dress. They can move in erratic, completely erratic. That's why you have one house destroyed and one house remaining.
So, Rod, this is Phil.
You got lucky. You got lucky.
Rod is basically saying this. He's saying that the tornado is going to alter course, you may think, because you told it to go to hell. And
I told you I don't think the tornado is a person. I said that I felt the tornado, the wind got the vibration. And
what he's saying is that the tornado's course can be altered by pressure in even the smallest thing, like a radiator, like a water heater. It can be altered by and change the pressure in these things. And it has nothing to do with anything
even,
else.
Even water in the ground. Even water in the ground. Water pipes going under the highway. It blew the highway apart. It blew the highway apart where the main line went through. That's what that pressure in any concealed anything that's concealed. Your car is a dangerous weapon. If you get in your car to run from a tornado, you're still in a dangerous situation. Because you've got something that's very lightweight that can be picked up very easily.
I think what you want to do here, Lloyd, is you want to feel like somehow you standing there and telling a tornado to go to hell had some effect, when in fact there's a lot of things that change its course.
I've been listening to what the young man's been saying, but he also said that tornado wears a dress.
Here's another thing.
Things like that.
No, he did not.
Yes, he did.
The very next day, on the front page of the Oklahoma City newspaper, there was an aerial photograph of the path of the tornado. I mean, from way, way, it must have been a satellite. Because
satellite
it showed about 50 square miles. And every time it got near a town or near a city, it leached towards it. It went towards it. It didn't shy away from it.
All right, Mr. Henry,
it went towards it.
You guys are making fun of me for saying go to hell to a tornado, and here's a young man saying that the tornado leapt towards a town. What, did it want something to eat? Did it want to rent a car?
No, he's talking about what is created by structures, by the structures that are there. All right, listen, thank you very much, Rod, for your call. Very, very good call. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445.
Well, you just hung up on that young man. He had another point to make.
Well, if I did, I apologize.
Because he was going, wait a minute, Mr. Henry. He got really loud the way a lot of the, I'm sure he was a good kid, but he sounded a little as if there might have been, he might not have gotten out of, I don't mean to make a joke, as if he might not have gotten out of the way of a tornado. But the point that I'm making, and
well, you can insult him if you want.
But the only point that I'm trying to make and that people don't understand, I looked at this tornado, and it stopped and backed up. It didn't go to the left. It didn't go to the right. It backed away from me as if there was some fear in it. That when I told it, and I said to it, I said, you can rot. You can rot in hell. I made it, I didn't say Mr. Tornado, but I said, you think you're going to come down here, and you're going to destroy the only thing I've ever loved in my life. And I wasn't talking about my wife. I was talking about my home and especially the Windstream that I just bought. But I also met my wife. But I think that's what caused her to bolt from the house into the car and try to get away, because I think she felt I was only talking about the car and the Windstream in the house. And
all right, I need to take a break, okay?
But if you break now, I'm leaving the impression that I'm mad. I'm a madman.
I'm not, no, sir, but what you're talking about is going to need some explanation. As we talked to Lloyd Bonafide about tornadoes and what causes them to alter course and what causes them to, quote, back up. He claims, standing there with his hands on his hips, telling it to go to hell, caused the tornado to back up and to miss his house. And he said, living in Tornado Alley all those years, not once did a tornado hit him, his home, or his neighbors. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Dr. Jim Sadler, next hour here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Yeah, that Aphrodite Jones.
Call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
I want to get back to Lloyd Bonafide here as we talk with this man, a Navy veteran and a resident and a native of Iowa, about these tornadoes. But I really have to get to this question of your wife, and then we'll take some more phone calls, sir.
Mr. Henry, I treat my wife as fine. All right.
I have to get to the question of how you grabbed her and dragged her back in the house.
She had bolted from the house to the car. And when I say bolted, I had stood there, and I'll never forget the day. It was May 16th. It was 1965. And I said there, at the, as the this was a twister, and it was coming up the Mississippi of the part of the Mississippi River, the valley, there's a ledge there called McMullen, and then was turning toward the town. I said, you can rot in hell. You, and yes, even the God that created you.
Are you kidding?
No, I'm not talking to God. It's something that strengthens me. That's when she bolted to the car and tried to get away. And
so no wonder she bolted to the car and tried to get away. You sent that to God?
Oh, when you grow up. Okay, I'm not talking to God and I'm not talking to the tornado. I'm talking to myself and my neighbors. You have to understand that my neighbors would see me doing this and would gain strength from it.
And then your wife, who was hospitalized with nervous exhaustion after you dragged her back into that home and made her suffer through this series of twisters. 877-876-PHIL. I think that's something. You love a woman, you love anybody in your family, you love a person, you don't put them through that. Here is Jane, and Jane is on the Phil Henry Show. Jane is in Cleveland, Cleveland, Tennessee. Go ahead, Jane. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Lloyd Bonafide.
Oh, yeah, I just called to tell you that we lived through a tornado the other day, and about my
yes,
neighbors,
ma'am.
They were in their house seconds before the tornado hit their home and leveled it. They got in the basement, and all they have left is just clothes on their back, and they were barefooted and come to our home. Our neighbors... other neighbor's house is level two. So, I mean,
well,
it's risky.
Did they tell it to go to hell?
Oh, come on, will you?
Well, the lady said they went into the basement, and I don't know that that's what you want to do. I think you want to stay above ground.
If they stayed above ground, they would be dead now.
Well, ma'am, you stayed above ground. How are you? You're fine. See?
No, I went into a garage.
The lady went into a covered area.
Well, of course she went into a covered area, all right. But the point, do you have a storm basement, ma'am? Jane, do you have a storm basement in your home?
No, I had to go into my garage. I was lucky.
See, so it couldn't concern you that much because you don't have it, and I'm not criticizing. It couldn't concern you that much. So what I didn't have a storm basement either. I wouldn't, to construct a storm basement would mean that I had no guts.
You really play it fast and loose with people's lives, including your own.
I beg your pardon?
You play it fast and loose with people's lives, including your own.
Say that again.
You play it fast and loose with people's... Go ahead, Jane.
I was just saying...
So you were safe, and I'm glad to hear that you're safe, yeah.
If
we had stayed in the house. Now, we're lucky it didn't hit us. It went around us. So I've got trees uprooted in my house and in my yard. But my neighbors would be dead if they didn't go to the basement.
Right. This was a devastating event.
Mr. Henry, I lived through tornadoes, too. But there was something about Lloyd Bonafide. When I saw that thing coming down the hill, and I knew that it was gunning for my home, I stood there and I said to it, boy, I'll tell you, you are going to burn. You'll burn with Jack the Ripper.
You're talking to a tornado.
I've had 9 people in this county die.
Yes, I
because
heard,
of this.
But this has got nothing to do with that. I'm talking about Iowa in 1965.
Well, what made Iowa different from this situation?
I don't know. Other than the fact that I was able to tell a tornado to go to hell. I don't know, Mr. Hicker. You're asking me a lot of very uncomfortable questions.
And of course they're uncomfortable. It's very uncomfortable. It's very dangerous. It's better for people to adhere to a safe plan. I remember hurricanes in the Southeast. Kids would go out. They thought it was funny to go out and play in the hurricanes, play in the wind. One of them almost got killed by a flying piece of plate glass window. You know, these things are beyond jokes. And
this is not a joke, sir. This is me standing...
Or somebody acting the fool and dragging somebody else back into a house because you don't want a tornado to beat you.
Well, the image of people fleeing their homes in front of a tornado, to me, I cannot abide it. It makes me physically ill. I would rather see human beings stand there and tell a tornado to go straight to the demon. I don't know.
Yeah. That'll help. Thank you very much, Jane. Glad you're safe, too.
Yeah, you're welcome. 877-876-PHIL,
877-876-7445. Let's go over to James. James, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Lloyd Bonafide.
Yeah, Lloyd, you're out of your mind. You are insane. You're telling people that all they have to do is use this language, go straight to hell and something like that, and it's going to turn a tornado. Are you out your mind?
Have you done it? Have you tried it? Have you even given it a try? No. So how do you know?
Phil Henry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Henry.
In prison, there's more black people. Yes, there are. And that's
basically steals and voyeurism for me.
Across the state, we've traveled today. We have not.
Our children do not have, they are not tethered.
My name is Roger Ebert. I love the Phil Henry Show. And I think Keith Olbermann is a closet homosexual.
Gay as hell.
World famous Phil Henry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The only news talking entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch on this show, and where we go through the looking glass and take you, we take you a lot of places. We go places other talk shows cannot go as we march over top of every dumb ass there is. Every dumb ass that wants to pull this country backward. The liberal, the so-called progressive. So-called progressive because they actually believe they're taking this country somewhere. Sure they are. They're taking it a lot of places, man. Mostly to hell. In the words of Lloyd Bonafide. Anyway, welcome to our show. This hour we have Jim Sadler joining us. Dr. Jim Sadler from San Diego is going to be talking about atheists. And he's with an organization called Veterans at Heart. VAH out of San Diego. Veterans at Heart. We're going to find out what that organization is about. Atheists are seeking the role of chaplain in the military. Atheists. And we're going to find out why Dr. Sadler supports this. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Don't forget the Phil Henry Show website at philhenryshow.com. You can pick up a backstage pass. It's a lot cheaper than a six-pack, way cheaper than that pack of cigarettes that you buy every day. As a matter of fact, the cigarettes you're buying every day, or the beer, or whatever it is going to cost you more money than a backstage pass will cost you for like 6 months, maybe even a year. So check out a backstage pass, then you're online, and you can see our archives, you can see all of our podcasts, our daily podcasts, our classic Phil podcasts, and of course our live streaming video on Phil TV in HD. And I want to direct you to our shop, because the Phil Henry Show t-shirt is in, the brand new classic Phil Henry Show t-shirt. And I'm wearing on Phil TV in HD right now. I'm looking, if you're looking at the camera, you can see I'm wearing our ball caps that we're going to have for the summertime. These are a beautiful thing. Camera 3 shows you the backside of the ball cap, which, you know, when I say backside, I hope you understand. And
well, what, you're going to show something butt or something?
Who's asking you? In any event, head over to philhenryshow.com and check out the shop and all the other things that we have to offer. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Jim Sadler joining us in a moment. In the military, there are more than 3,000 chaplains who minister to the spiritual and emotional needs of active-duty troops, regardless of their faiths. The vast majority are Christian. A few are Jews or Muslims. One is a Buddhist. There is a Hindu chaplain. Possibly even a Wiccan may join their ranks. As a matter of fact, you might be interested to know, at the Air Force Academy in Colorado, there is a place of worship for Wiccan cadets. Now, Strange as it sounds, an atheist chaplain is being proposed by some. Groups representing atheists and secular, so-called secular humanists, are pushing for the appointment of one of their own to the chaplaincy, hoping to give voice to what they say is a large and largely underground population of non-believers in the military. Joining the chaplain corps is part of a broader campaign by atheists to win official acceptance in the military. Such recognition would make it easier for them to raise money and meet on military bases. It would help ensure their chaplains, religious or atheists, would distribute their literature, advertise their events, advocate for them with commanders. And basically, I think what atheists are trying to do is get the same status as gay people, black people. In other words, you watch how insidious this becomes, folks. They're going to begin to compare themselves to gays. Atheists who choose this belief, choose it. They weren't born to it. In fact, if you want to know about what you're born to, what is actually ingrained in the DNA, what is actually, it could be argued, is a part of our very brain chemistry, you could argue that we are actually believers in God. Given the tens of thousands of years the human species has been on this earth, and from the very beginning we believed in the supernatural, from the very beginning. So that a bunch of jive mothers are going to say, oh, all of a sudden I think I've decided that I'm not a believer in God. I think I'm going to decide I'm an atheist. Well, okay, fine. You can decide anything you want. But don't you dare put yourself in the same category as people who were born to an orientation or a color of skin or a gender or a disability or anything like that. And I'm betting money that says that's what they're going to do. Dr. Jim Sadler is going to waltz into the middle of this particular lion cage. And Dr. Sadler, I don't envy you. How are you this evening?
Oh, so I'm very good, and I think we can agree to disagree on some things. I think I've got some things to say about what you just said.
Now you're a part of an organization called Veterans at Heart. What is that?
So Veterans at Heart is an organization of men and women who served this country. We were not in uniform. We were not soldiers. But we would have been had we been allowed to be the soldiers that we knew we could be. The fact that I was raised a believer in God, and the fact that there were chaplains that were religious, God-believing chaplains, made me feel that I had to adhere to a certain kind of ethic. And so I couldn't go in the Army, I couldn't go in the Marine Corps, I could not go into the military and serve my country the way I wanted to, which was to go and kill the enemy.
And well, wait a minute. A lot of veterans went and killed the enemy and believed in God.
They believed in God, but their kind of killing, their kind of soldiering, if you will, was based upon a limitation. And that was the limitation was a belief in God. So they couldn't really go into war and be the full, aggressive, non-discriminating, I guess you could say, cold-blooded killer that they could have been. I wanted to be a cold, and I in me is a cold-blooded killer, I feel. But because of the God chaplains, as I call them, there was always going to be a chaplain there telling me, love your fellow man. Yes, you have to kill the enemy, but love your fellow man. So I could not be the cold-blooded killer that I felt that I could be. Other veterans at heart, other members of VAH feel the same way. That is why we have become very much...
Hold on for a minute, because you've said an awful lot there, and it sounds... I've never heard anything like this before.
What don't you understand?
What I don't understand is you saying that because there were chaplains in the military, you knew that you'd have to answer to a God, and therefore you couldn't go and kill the way you felt you could?
That's essentially true, yes. I know. Why is that so difficult to understand? I think that...
Well, it's not difficult to understand so much as I've never heard anything like that.
Well, I think, Phil, you're coming from a paradigm, and you're coming from a belief system that says... that people who dodged the draft, which I did do, I dodged the Vietnam draft, were people that did not believe in war. I very much believed in war, but I could not go to the Vietnam War and go and, to use very unrestrained language, which I hope you don't mind.
Go ahead.
I couldn't kill the way I knew that I could. And
why do you say you couldn't kill the way? What, are you saying you wanted to violate the Geneva Convention?
Well, no, but I did want to be very aggressive. But when you've got a chaplain there who reminds you that there's a God, you suddenly pull back. At least I would. Other guys, maybe knowing that there's a chaplain who believes in God, maybe they would say, well, it doesn't matter. I'm going to go and kill, kill, kill. But for me, it would have affected me, and that's why I went to Canada. Not because I didn't believe in the Vietnam War.
So you, I'm going to just be clear. You dodged the draft what year?
1970.
1970. Was that your, so that was your first year in college?
Well, I was reported to for induction draft to the draft board. I reported in August. I turned 18 in August. I was classified 1A. I was then in the draft, the initial draft lottery for 19, or actually the second draft lottery for 1970, which was in the month of, I think, November, December. My number came up 4, and so...
But number 4, you were going.
I knew that I was going, and I wanted to go, but I realized they had God chaplains, and so I wouldn't be able to be the killer that I wanted to be. Now...
All right, I'm going to interrupt you here. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. We have with us Dr. Jim Sadler, who's a man who said he dodged the draft not because he didn't believe in the Vietnam War, but because they had chaplains who would constantly remind him of the existence of God, and therefore you couldn't be the killer you knew you could be.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Right, but I mean, the way you said that, is you're saying that as if you think I'm crazy.
No, I've not used that word, sir.
Well, I heard the way you said it, and you said it very slowly. You went, you didn't think that you could be, so you think I'm an idiot. And
no, I didn't say that at all, but I'm having a difficult time, and now this veteran's at heart. Are you calling yourself a veteran?
Yes, I'm calling myself a veteran at heart. A veteran at heart.
You went to Canada. You dodged the draft.
I was not a draft dodger because I didn't believe in the Vietnam War. I was a draft dodger because they wouldn't let me kill the way I wanted to.
You know, you could talk to 1,000 veterans of the Vietnam War, and I bet you they would assure you that you would have been able to kill the way you wanted to had you been drafted or otherwise inducted into the Army or any branch of the service that you wanted to join. And what, I don't know what kind of killing you wanted to do.
I did not want to be constrained by a belief in God. And that's the part you're missing, Mr. Henry. That's the part that either you're missing on purpose because you're trying to, piss me off.
No, but you're giving a lot of cowardly excuses, sir. I don't even know that I believe that you went to Canada because you believed in the Vietnam War. It sounds like a very fancy way of saying I was against the Vietnam War, but I don't want to say that.
No, that is not true. Why would I start an organization called Veterans at Heart?
What? And this Veterans at Heart, so that means you would have been a veteran.
No, we are veterans. We're veterans at heart. We believed in the Vietnam War, but we could not go to war because of chaplains that believed in God. And those chaplains would keep reminding us of a God, and we would not be able to go out and kill, just butcher up the, I wanted to go and kill a lot of, I wanted to go and kill a lot of gooks.
All right, I don't want to hear that, okay? We have a lot of listeners that might be Asian descent.
Well, that's what I wanted to do, and I couldn't because of the God chaplain. Now with an atheist chaplain, understand, Mr. Henry, this is going to give the United States military many more recruits, because with an atheist chaplain, they won't have to worry about God standing there wagging a finger at them. There's going to be an atheist chaplain that will remind them that there's no God, and they can go out and just chop the enemy in half. Just kill, 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 kill. And you just keep saying the word kill for, a lot of time.
All right, 877.
Well, the pause, okay, I noted the pause.
All right, so the pause is I'm having a hard time believing what I'm hearing. 877-876-7445 is the Phil Henry Show with a guy who claims he's a member of a group called Veterans at Heart. These are guys that would have gone to Vietnam had there not been chaplains. The chaplains, believing in God, would have reminded them that there is a God, and they wouldn't have been able to kill the enemy the way they wanted to. But with atheist chaplains, they won't have to worry about that. I think the guy's a draft dodger. He admits to being a draft dodger. He says that it wasn't because he was against the war, though. I think that's offensive to vets, and this guy's coming up with some fancy thing. Our number, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445, world famous Phil Henry Show. We'll be right back.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. The Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, and with me is Jim Sadler, and Dr. Sadler is with the Veterans at Heart. By the way, you're a doctor of what?
I'm a doctor of psychology.
Doctor of psychology. Do you hear? All right, so you're listening to yourself, sir. And,
well, Mr. Henry, you're not a doctor of psychology.
No. But do you hear any rationalization going on here? All right, let me just say this.
No, I don't feel that I'm rationalizing anything, and I don't think that it's right of you to bring this up in that manner. As a veteran at heart, and
all right, right there, the veteran at heart thing. You're not really a veteran. You're not really a veteran. You're not a combat veteran. You are a guy you claim would have been a veteran.
I would have been a veteran. I wanted to fight for my country. And if there'd been an atheist chaplain, and I would not have had to be reminded about God, I would have fought for my country, and I would have killed the enemy in the way that I knew that I could. Because we didn't have atheist chaplains, okay?
And all right, what if there were atheist chaplains right now in the military?
If there are atheist chaplains right now in the military?
Right now in the military, would you join up? Would you go fight in Afghanistan?
I'm too old, you know.
All right, but say you were young enough and you could go. Would you join up?
I would join up. It is a different war. It's a trick question, sir, because, number one, I have bad skin. I've got bad lungs. I can't fight in a war in a desert. I was perfect for a jungle, but I wanted to fight what makes me patriotic, and I wanted to fight for atheism, and that's not unpatriotic.
No, I asked you a question. If there were atheist chaplains, would you join now?
I would join now.
Then you would go and fight.
I would want to, but I wouldn't be able to because of eczema and because of my asthma.
And why did you not have asthma and eczema as a young man?
It was a jungle environment, so there was moisture. Well,
you know, I'm hearing a lot of excuses here.
No, you're not hearing excuses. I'm a veteran who didn't.
You're not a veteran, sir. You're not a veteran. 877-876-7445. Let's go to a phone call. Dwayne in Meridian, Mississippi. Go ahead, Dwayne. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
My outlook on this is simple. I mean, especially the questions you just asked. I mean, it's plain and simple. A draft dodger is all this is. I mean, you can point blank ask him a question, and he started 100 excuses of why he still wouldn't go. I mean, it doesn't make a difference.
No, sir. I would go. I would fight against Afghanistan.
Okay, then why don't you go?
I would go, but they would tell me to go home because of my eczema. Okay, and you call me a draft dodger, that, you know, to every veteran, that's a terrible thing.
And you're not a veteran.
Yes, a veteran at heart. A veteran at heart. If you wouldn't mind calling me a veteran at heart.
All right, you're not a veteran. You're a veteran at heart?
I'm a veteran at heart. And as a veteran at heart, I wanted to go to war because of the God chaplain.
No, I know why you didn't go to war. You went to Canada a lot. Did you hang out with draft dodgers up there?
Did I hang out with? What is that supposed to mean?
What, sir, during the Vietnam War, there were Americans that went to Canada who were dodging the draft. Did you know any up there?
Of course I did. It was impossible not to be a young person.
All right. Were you hanging out with those people?
When you say hanging out, are you talking about? What are you talking about? Did I have my zipper down?
No, I'm not talking about that.
Well, if you would mind being a little more specific.
I never made any... I said hanging out as in, were you socializing?
There was nobody else to talk to. The Canadian, the only other people to talk to were Canadians, and they don't share your bag. So, yes, I did.
So there you were in Canada, dodging the draft, talking to a lot of people that didn't want to fight, and you say that you wanted to fight. It's just for the fact that they had God chaplains and you couldn't kill enough. I wonder what those people would have thought about that. Here is David in Houston, Texas. Go ahead, David. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
They had no problem with it.
I doubt it.
Phil, this guy is a draft-dodging coward. He clearly avoided the war. I mean, there's not any... You don't have to speak to any chaplains if you don't want to speak to the chaplains. This guy, he's a loon.
No, but because
I don't even know why he's on your show.
Because there were chaplains, they were God. You know there's chaplains. You know there's chaplains. And there's talk of God. And if there was talk of God, then I have to think about being punished by God, and I would not be able to go and slaughter, you know, I don't know if you know anything about it, but...
Well, what do you know about it?
I know that I could have slaughtered the enemy, except I had to believe in God. I don't
Listen, I'm a veteran, and nobody was going to stop,
what?
You know...
A veteran of what? The Boy Scouts? What do you mean a veteran?
Oh, wow.
Well, how old are you?
Me? I'm 40.
40. You almost wanted to do something else, didn't you?
No, I was in Desert Storm, and I was in Somalia, sir.
Let's give this man the respect to believe him.
Well, you want me to believe him, and he sounds like he's 10. And meanwhile, I'm taking it up to you-know-what. God. I'm on your program.
All right, listen, thank you very much, David, and thank you for your service to our country. We'll be right back here on the Phil Hendry Show.
What about my service? I did not serve.
I'm not going to give you any veteran status. We'll be back on the Phil Hendry Show with Jim Sapper.
Phil Hendry. Call the Patriot Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. With me is Dr. Jim Sadler, and Dr. Sadler is calling from San Diego. He is a doctor of psychology, but more to the point, he is a man who is advocating atheists in the chaplain service in the military, and that is these would be men and these would be women who are atheist chaplains who can minister to or advise. I don't even know, how does that work?
How does what work?
How does an atheist chaplain work, and what does that mean?
It means you can speak to this chaplain who's an atheist, and you can get advice from an individual who's not going to be relying on religious text.
Is it the same as having a psychologist?
It's not the same as having a well.
So why would you need a chaplain if you got a psychologist?
Because the chaplain goes and talks. You know, Mr. Hendry, I'm here to simply say I don't want to get sidetracked by. I'm an atheist. All right.
I'm just wondering how an atheist works as a chaplain, as opposed to just going to talk to a psychologist.
I'm an atheist, and had I not been, I was kept from being a soldier by religion. I was kept from being a soldier by Christian religion. And
what about Jewish religion?
Well, I mean, what you're trying to do now is piss me off, you know. And
you know, for a psychologist, you talk not very intelligently, sir. And
No, you're trying to piss me off by saying, what about a Jew? What about a Hindu? What about? I'm saying that my... Boy, oh boy. I'm saying, Mr. Hendry...
No, I know what you're saying, that if there had not been Christian chaplains or Jewish chaplains, that there wouldn't have been any emphasis on God, and you would have been able to kill the enemy much more freely. I think you said kill, 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 slaughter them. I think you used the word slaughter. And instead, you were not able to do that, so you dodged the draft and you went to Canada. And you want me to believe that's because you love this country and wanted to fight for it, not because you didn't want to fight for it.
Not only do I want you to believe that, I demand that you believe it because it's the truth. And it's the truth. And if there are atheist chaplains, then I would have gone to war and I would have slaughtered up. You can say what you want. I would have butchered more Vietnamese, and that's why we are an organization, Veterans at Heart, where we know we know what we would have done, and we know how we would have fought.
Yeah, uh-huh. All right.
What does yeah, uh-huh mean?
Because I think it's easy to say, sir. 877-876-PHIL. And as far as being a veteran goes, there are real veterans out there who I think would be hard-pressed not to be offended a little bit. Jason, you're on the Phil Hendry Show, and Jason's calling from Fort Knox, Kentucky. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, I have a couple of comments for the doctor here. First of all, being that my father served three tours in Vietnam, he stood up and he fought for his country. And I myself deployed to Iraq with 4th Infantry Division, 122nd Infantry, out of Fort Hood in March of 08 to March of 09. And we were visited regularly by chaplains. And you can either believe in God or not believe in God, and you can also serve your country at the same time. I know that you say that you're an atheist. I myself am an agnostic, so I don't subscribe to any one religion, but that has nothing to do with stepping up when your country asks you to fight for it and do what needs to be done. Freedom is not free, sir. You're nothing but a coward, and you ran to Canada
now,
to get out from going and fighting.
Wait a second. I was an atheist. Hey, wait, are you telling me I believed in God, and when you believe in God, don't you not want to kill? Yeah.
What?
It has nothing to do with whether you believe in God or not. You can still serve your country. You said at the time you believed in God. Well, if you read the Bible, the Bible says, what did Jesus say? Render unto Caesar that which is his, and render unto God that is his as well. You can serve God and you can serve your country at the same time.
All right. Well, I didn't have that understanding, and so I was hung up by it. And I'll tell you, had there been an atheist chaplain, I would not be hung up by the whole God thing. I could go in. Look at you. You're an agnostic. I would have gone in
nothing,
and just
there's no such thing as an atheist chaplain. Chaplains are holy men. There's no such thing as an atheist chaplain. Chaplains aren't even allowed to carry weapons, even in combat zones.
So, sir, you're telling me that the New York Times article written by James Dale about atheists seeking a role in the military...
Atheists may be seeking a role in the military, but to be a chaplain is an asinine idea. I told you, what is an atheist going to counsel, an atheist chaplain going to counsel a soldier that a psychologist wouldn't? It sounds to me like they want more psychologists, you know.
Exactly,
well, no,
Bill, and we had access to both of those, even in country in Iraq. We had access to psychologists, and we had access to chaplains. And you could go to see other. It's not the chaplain didn't burst in your door and make you listen to whatever he said. It was your choice to go see him when he came to your FOB or your COP or whatever and talk to you. You didn't have to go see him. But that has nothing to do. Yeah, COP. A Coalition Outpost is what it stands for. Coalition Outpost. But
have you heard of our group, Veterans at Heart?
Hey, I don't want you bringing that up with a real
There's
soldier.
There's no such
you don't
thing
mind.
As veterans at heart. If you didn't stand up and serve your country, you're not a veteran. You ran to Canada to get out of fighting.
No,
and
I did
oh,
not.
As far as also, wait a minute,
oh
wait a
God.
Minute. Your little excuses about your eczema and your asthma. Okay, first of all, our company commander, he deployed to Iraq. He had psoriasis to the point where he had to have injections of medication in order to keep it under control. And me and several other of my battle buddies, we all had asthma, and we had our medications there with us in Iraq, 130 degrees, sandstorms reaching 3 miles into the air, and we still did our duty.
Well, wait a minute. Your commander had isn't that bad breath?
No.
Psoriasis.
That's psoriasis, not halitosis.
Psoriasis is a skin disorder where your immune system produces an overabundance of skin cells, which causes flaky, scabby skin on the top. And it itches and it cracks and it bleeds. It's very bad.
Yeah.
And he had to have
injections. Eczema is like shingles. I had shingles.
And okay.
All right, listen, are you listening to what this man is saying?
You take your cream with you and you go fight for your country.
Take my cream? Well, you
guys, the cream that use to treat your eczema. My son has eczema. He's 2 years old. We put a cream on it. It goes away.
You know, sir, with all due respect, you have answers that make me look like an ass at every turn. And I wonder if you're a plant by Mr. Hendry.
I look like the ass? I wasn't
no,
the
you're making me look like an ass
that ran to Canada to get away out of fighting for his country. I volunteered.
You know, Mr. Henry?
No, this man, I don't
drafted.
Know this man.
I volunteered to serve my country in a time of need and to go fight our enemies abroad. You ran away.
I wanted to serve our country, but they wouldn't let me because God reminded me.
They wouldn't let you. Yeah, just like my dad wanted to serve his country. They let him.
But I believe in, wait a minute.
What, all these guys believe in God, and they went to Vietnam, and they went to Iraq, and they went to these places, and they killed the enemy. And as this gentleman said, the Bible, for everyone, the Bible has an answer, and the Bible has a way to approach a problem. And for this gentleman, the quote about Jesus, you know, saying, render unto Caesar, is his way of viewing Jesus' words.
Well, to me, I hear them say, turn your cheek. Great. So I go to Vietnam and I turn my cheek.
Okay? But it doesn't matter. You're trying to distract everyone with these asinine excuses of why you couldn't go. Okay, I have asthma myself, and I can tell you that it always is worse when you're in a very humidified area. The desert's not very humidified. Your problem would have been even worse.
It would have been better. In Vietnam,
I mean,
it would have been worse.
Exactly.
Wait a minute. I believe that I have even worse skin than your son. So
right now,
you know
right now,
man,
the
you
only problem that I can
excuses.
See is that you are a coward and you have... You have a problem with a lot of poop coming out of your mouth.
I'm allergic to dust.
You're
and
allergic to dust, you're allergic to air,
yes,
you're allergic to peanuts.
You've got a lot of excuses, you know.
No. That's what you are.
No,
you're
sir,
allergic
I
to
not.
Fighting.
I would have killed
the other.
You wouldn't. They would have given me the Congressional Medal of Honor had I been...
You know what? I'm going to stop you right there. Thank you very much. Good call, sir.
The Congressional Medal of Honor? Are you kidding
me?
Yeah,
no kidding.
That is the highest award given to soldiers that fight for their country.
I would have had been too guilty believing in God to kill the gook. And
don't use that word. You're a civilian living in a country now that is filled with Asian Americans. I don't want to hear that word.
He called them the enemy.
No, but wasn't that...
No, not you. You weren't a soldier.
I'm a veteran at heart.
You are not a veteran. You are
all right.
Not a veteran.
Thank you, sir, for your call. Very good call, and thank you for serving our country, sir. 877-876-7445.
Why don't you thank me? And I guess you won't thank me for serving the country because you don't think I'm a veteran, but why do you kiss, why do you put your lips right on the hind end of these guys?
Because these guys actually went to war and risked their lives, and as we've often said, a veteran is a guy that writes a check that's good for an amount up to and including his or her life in service to this country, and so they deserve respect, and you didn't go. A veteran at heart.
I told you I was allergic to dust. And
allergic to dust? So if you're allergic to dust, what has Vietnam got to do with it?
But Mr. Henry, you have disrespected every veteran at heart that's listening to the program tonight. And there was a lot of men out there and women that would have been happy to go to Vietnam or to Iraq or to Afghanistan and to just... Man, like, if you've ever seen a flamethrower, I would have loved to have had one of them. And then you would have seen some real killing. But I didn't...
No, I wouldn't have seen no killing. You were in Canada, and that's where you were going to stay, whether you were a veteran at heart, whether you had eczema, whether you had dry skin, whether you were allergic to dust, or whether you had halitosis. Ain't that bad breath. 877-876-7445. Here is Mike in Texas. Go ahead, Mike. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yeah, I just don't understand why he's saying he's an atheist. An atheist, a true atheist, believes in what he can do as an individual. If he was covering up that he's just a coward at heart and he didn't want to go fight with his fellow countrymen, just admit it. Quit making all these excuses.
I will not admit to something that I am saying. If I'm a... All right, I was... I was a scared... Wasn't you a scared?
If you're not scared, then there's something wrong with you.
Exactly.
You're not an atheist.
Exactly.
And you're hiding behind religion. You're hiding behind everything.
Atheist.
I served 21 years as a full-blooded atheist. I never went to a chaplain once. I never went to one service. I believed in what my abilities were due and my training, just like every other soldier did. I went out there. I did my job. I did what I was supposed to do. And you are just a coward. That's all it is. And you're not even an atheist.
What about, okay, you say you're an atheist?
Yes.
You weren't, what about God saying, okay, that's why you were a good soldier, because you were an atheist.
Well, why didn't you join up? You were an atheist.
No, I believed in God at the time.
Then why well, if you're an atheist?
Yeah, if you're an atheist now, you can join.
Not until they get atheist chaplains, because the God chaplain keeps reminding you of God.
This gentleman was an atheist for 21 years, served his country, and it never bugged him. Did you, you just didn't go to, were there chaplains running around telling you to believe in God?
What they was never going forced on there with anything the on me. It's always,
so you didn't have to go to service. Yeah.
Service. It's all volunteer military. It's not volunteer service. They don't force nothing on you. If you don't want to go, you don't have to go. You're just
yeah, but you knew they were there.
If you're scared, they were there. If you're not a man enough to stand up for what you believe in and go do the right thing, don't hide behind everybody else.
I do believe in being a patriot. I do believe in carving up the enemy a new one. And God, I wish I could have done that, but they wouldn't let me.
No, you wouldn't let you. You wouldn't let you. The country would have let you.
No, because God would have reminded me of what a war criminal I was.
You're full of crap. You know that? God ain't going to remind you of nothing. And what is this allergic to dust? When did that happen?
When did it happen? It happened when I was a kid.
Oh, I see. So now you can't go to Iraq because you're allergic to dust. You didn't mention anything about dust.
Yes, I did. Yes, I did. If I didn't, I talked about my asthma, right?
Yeah, your asthma, your eczema.
You're a hypochondriac. You're a hypochondriac, and you make excuses every time you turn around. There's no excuse for it.
You're
disgracing every American veteran in the United States.
You're disgracing all atheists by not sticking up for a fellow atheist. And
he doesn't even believe you're an atheist. I don't either. Mike, thank you very much. Great call.
You're welcome.
21 years in the United States military for that gentleman as an atheist, and he didn't have to worry about chaplains running around and telling him there's a God, and you better watch out, and you better not carve the enemy a new one, or whatever the hell it was you're talking about. Good God. Is the draft-dodging guest that we have here with us, Dr. Jim Sadler, really a veteran, as he claims, or is he really a coward using atheism as an excuse? Our number is 877-876-7445. Next hour, the News and Information Hour with Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard. And we'll be back with that. And don't forget our souvenir shop there, our merchandise store, I should say, at philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com. Get a backstage pass.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Call the Patriot Hotline now. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
And if you're looking at our stream, our live stream on Phil TV and HD, we've got our Phil Hendry Show mug. And it says there, in your Easter bonnet with Phil Hendry's mug on it. That's our coffee mug. Go on, pick one of those up. It's a beauty. And we also have, as I mentioned, our brand spanking new Phil Hendry Show, all-purpose, wear-anywhere colors, a T-shirt to be exact, and we've got it in sizes up to triple X. Check it out at philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com. On the line with me is Dr. Jim Sadler as we continue this discussion, and you heard what I said, sir. Draft dodging, by any other name, you know, is still draft dodging.
Well, I think it takes quite a pair of you-know-what, Mr. Hendry, to call me a draft dodger when I've loved my country. And,
You don't love your country when you come up with cornball excuses. You can say, you know,
this is not an excuse. This is, I want to kill the enemy in ways that you would not even imagine, but I couldn't because of the God chaplain. And that is my, and
no, when you say, well, I'd go to Afghanistan, I'd go to Iraq, but I've got a dust allergy. And I have a
asthma. Ask anybody with asthma.
And I just talked to a young man who's a soldier there. You heard him saying he had asthma. He brought his asthma medication with him, and he was able to function quite normally. Here is Issa in Indianapolis on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
I'd like to comment on some of the gentleman's accusations that I hear him talking about, that he's a veteran at heart, and I have a hard time accepting that. Myself being a veteran, I too have asthma. And I went to the Desert Storm. I went to Somalia, and I served my country with gladness. And I was in, I actually was in a platoon with three atheists, and they were there fighting side by side with me. That's one point. Another point that I would like to make is that just because you go into the military, it doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to pick up a weapon and fire it. You have support staff. You have you can deliver water. You can be a medic. You can do all kind of other ways to serve your country. So, sir, I have a hard time.
But I didn't want to do that. I wanted to kill the enemy. I wanted to kill the enemy, but I couldn't because they kept throwing God at me every turn.
That you just heard veterans saying that they, God.
If you're saying that you believe in God, then now you're saying that you don't believe in God. Is it really necessary? Are you really saying that you don't believe in God? Because by having the perception of God, you already know what God is about. Is it that you just don't accept God? You don't sound like a psychologist, sir.
I am a psychologist, but I have been warped by my experience in Veterans at Heart. Because we get together once a week and talk about how we would have been great soldiers. But we got damaged.
You're
a veteran at heart. I mean, a veteran at heart. You're not a veteran. You know, and if you're saying you're a veteran at heart, by you not being a veteran and by you being a draft dodger, you have no heart.
Wait a minute. Wait just a second. Had I been allowed to serve, and that is, God, had I been allowed to
serve? You were allowed to serve. You just didn't choose to serve because God was with the chaplains, and that would have reminded you of God, and you couldn't butcher up a whole bunch of Vietnamese like you wanted to.
I never said...
Yeah, you did. You said you would have been hell on wheels, man, with that flamethrower. Didn't you say that?
Yeah, I would have.
If it wasn't for the fact that there's God. Now you're an atheist. Now what's hanging you up?
Because they still got chaplains. If they had atheist chaplains... Oh, forget it.
Yeah, forget it is right. And this Veterans at Heart thing, man, run this by me one more time. You guys sit around on a Friday night and do what?
I didn't say Friday night. Well, now you got a guy laughing. Now the guy's laughing at me. I hope you feel good, Mr. Henry, because I came on your program trying to get respect for Veterans at Heart.
Well, no, now you guys sit around on whatever night it is, and what do?
And we talk about how we would have kicked ass.
You talk about how you would have kicked ass, but you didn't.
No. And we got to sit there and play cards. You gonna laugh at that? That's pretty pathetic.
So why don't you talk to a bunch of veterans and thank them for the way they went over and kicked ass? You would have
because I wanted to do that.
You know what? Go back to your child psychology practice or your
animal behavior,
whatever.
Animal behavior. What a chop.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Across the state, we've traveled today.
There's more black people. Yes, there are.
And now, I will not do a cursory analysis of this.
It is a horror show. You've never seen it.
I forgot he was black tonight.
Well, I hope you knew to use a condom.
Yeah, Chris. What was I? 877-876-PHIL. That's our number. World-famous Phil Hendry Show is the most important thing. World-famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. We go places other talk shows wish they could. How do I know? They tell me. By the way, this weekend we'll be at the W Hotel in Hollywood, and I only say that not because it's a personal appearance. It's actually an industry function. But there's going to be more guys walking up to me at that thing saying they wish they could do the kind of show that I do. It never ends. I wish the money never ended, but...
I guess it did at some point, huh?
Shut up. Anyway, 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and this is a radio show, Patriots for Patriots, by Patriots, walking across the pointed heads of every low-life, scum-sucking, progressive dog. Everyone that would pull this country backwards in time, everyone that would slander, that would libel, take advantage of a great country like this one. That's what we do on this program every night. And we welcome you. Thanks for joining us. Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard with me here in our news and information hour. And one of the stories we'll be talking about is something having to do with Superman, the character, the comic book character, renouncing his U.S. citizenship in a forthcoming story. What's that? What's going on? Doctors give tips to men suffering from mental short penis syndrome. If you're a guy who feels that it's just too small, even though it's not, you may want to hear that part of the program. Although during our pre-show, Jason and I were giving tips to people watching on the feed, and we said, well, the first thing you need to do is lose weight. You lose about 100 pounds, pal, and it'll get real big.
Are you kidding me or something? Some guys must be pretty fat.
Yeah, I'm telling you. I mean, I've heard it said that fat guys are probably the guys that think they have the smallest ones. Well, you want to know why? Because you're a fat ass.
Yeah, I mean, you get so fat now, all of a sudden look tiny.
Lose some weight, and suddenly that thing is huge, man. Anyway, that'll motivate enough guys to lose weight.
Are you kidding me or something? So all of a sudden it grows bigger?
No, you idiot. What do you mean it grows bigger?
You don't get it.
I'm talking about if a guy is really fat and he thinks his penis is too small, lose a bunch of weight and you're going to suddenly see how big it really is.
What?
Oh, you're an idiot, man. Just figure it out, okay? And let's see, Glee. Glenn Beck is taking shots at Glee. Does he really hate Glee, or is Glenn and Glee, are they Glee? Is he just clinic? He's Glee. He says it's an anti-capitalist message. World-famous Phil Hendry Show. Don't forget to get our backstage pass at our website. It's cheaper than a six-pack of beer. You get the uncensored video in HD, plus the best of our best-of CDs from 1997 to 2005, our legacy best-ofs, the brand-spanking-new Phil Hendry Show T-shirt, our coffee mugs, beautiful thing. If you're watching our video cast, there it is right there. Pick one up. And then, of course, we have our shot glasses, Phil Hendry Show shot glasses, and coming soon, brand new Phil Hendry Show ball caps, of which one I'm wearing. I don't have the logo on it, but this is the latest, baby. This is a fitted cap with a kind of an elastic band. There's no plastic clip band or anything like that, so that will be a sweet thing. So here is Glenn Beck. I think we're going to talk about this Glenn Beck thing, okay?
No, I don't know what about, man.
Well, don't worry about it. Glenn Beck and the Media Research Center are slamming Glee. Beck calls it a horror show that uses propaganda to push an anti-capitalist message. Glee is coming under fire yet again from the Media Research Center, and now Glenn Beck and Glee. The Media Research Center is condemning Tuesday's 90-minute episode in which a gay bullying storyline continued, though it wasn't the main focus of the episode. On his Fox News show today, Glenn Beck decried the show for going against his values, which are strictly heterosexual, and, oh, I mean, they're, well, anti-capitalist.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
I thought it was, anyway, he said that he decried the show for going against his values while also propagandizing the show's audience via performance of a song by My Chemical Romance that Beck found objectionable. What's the name of the song? I don't know. What was the name of the song?
I think it's that Born This Way.
In Tuesday night's episode, the Glee Club members celebrated the message of Lady Gaga's hit single, Born This Way. They were all asked to address aspects of themselves that they may be uncomfortable with, but should accept because they were born that way. Two of the characters openly discussed their homosexuality, and those were both adults. No, I'm kidding. They were the kid. They were the two guys probably that made out, right?
I don't know. I'm not very comfortable with this subject. Do you mind if I leave the room?
Get out of here, yeah.
Yeah, can I?
Are you guys kidding me or something?
Yeah, sort of.
But sit down and shut up, will you? Can I leave the room? What's the name of the song? Sing? Well, why don't we have... why is this story written in such a bad way? If the song is Sing, then tell me what the name of the song is, because the next song that's mentioned is Born This Way. Glenn is a great guy, and he's so full of crap his eyes are brown, and you never know whether he's telling the truth or not. And I would say, if I were you, I would bank on the fact that about 80% of the time he doesn't even understand what it is he's saying. But don't make it doubly difficult, man, Hollywood Reporter and rants, when you guys are writing these stories. So he found a song objectionable by My Chemical Romance called Sing. Now, this Ryan Murphy's latest depraved initiative to promote his gay agenda, conservative media critic Dan Gaynor fumed. Oh, God, this is terribly written. This is horrible. Did you actually clean this story up?
Well, I tried.
Well, you made it worse, man. This is clearly Ryan Murphy's vision of what growing up should be, not most of America, said Gaynor, who's vice president for business and culture at the Media Research Center, where they don't do a whole lot of research, but they sure do get into the media. Conservative host Glenn Beck spent over five whole minutes of his Fox show today to discuss Glee, shivering as he pondered its sinister brilliance. He claims he's only watched two episodes of the hit show this year, but complained that it stands against almost every value I have. If Glenn has values, then my name is the Wicked Witch of the West. You can put it. You can go ahead and call me Ray Lewis, middle linebacker of the Baltimore Ravens, if Glenn's got values. I'm not saying the guy hasn't got morals. I'm not saying the guy hasn't got morals, but the values that he's talking about, that's all for show. That's horse dung. Now, let me tell you something, folks. On this show, as we march across the tops of the heads of jackballs and all of these people that are trying to make this country a laughingstock, and I realize Glenn's a good guy and he stood for a lot of good things, but don't let him make a jackass out of you, my values. Anyway, he shivered as he pondered its brilliance. Wow. Then he went on to discuss a recent episode where the Glee Club covered Sing by My Chemical Romance, a propaganda anthem, he called it. Beck argued that the performance was a propaganda tool to turn the audience against capitalism. He cited some of the song's lyrics. Clean up corporation progress, dying in the process, children that can talk about it, living on the... Anyway, it's a lot of lyrical stuff that you hear in any song, any common song. People talking about, you know, the machine and, you know, trying to be cool and... And how do you stand up to a society that's insensitive? If that's anti-capitalism and pro-commie or pro-socialism, then people are even dumber than I look. The anti-capitalist message, and this is in parentheses, arguably isn't taking hold. Glee singles and albums sell big. An album from Glee that doesn't even include songs by the main cast opened this week at number 2 on the best-selling albums chart by Billboard. So, very good point there by Rance. If he is turning people against capitalism, or this TV show is, it ain't happening, man, because, you know, they're making everybody a millionaire on that show. They also shattered Billboard records. The Glee cast placed 113 songs in the Hot 100, besting Elvis Presley and the Beatles. That is the shocker for me is it isn't whatever it was that was, whatever bug Glenn got up his rear end. Whatever bug Beck got up his butt. But what shocks me is that because of the access to music that we have, the ready access to music today, we see these records falling that were set by real artists.
Wait a minute, man. Glee, they're real artists.
No, they're not. They do cover versions. They do a few originals. They do cover versions. It's like a very, very proficient and very talented wedding band. And I understand they're breaking records, selling a lot of albums, but they're selling a lot of music. But the ability, the access to music today is much easier. Go to the computer, hit a button, bang, here comes the song. Back in the day, you had to go down to the record store and buy the damn thing. And, you know, like that. You also had to buy it and find a place to keep it. You know, you had either a vinyl disc or a CD, and you're carting this garbage home, and you're putting it in, and it's getting scratched. And, you know, and the value for the dollar for a lot of people meant that, you know, you really had to pick and choose what songs you were buying and what artists you were supporting. Is anybody saying that Glee is better than Elvis Presley and the Beatles? No, no one's saying that. But the fact that they're even challenging their record sales shocks the hell out of me. I mean...
Yeah, me too.
Don't be smart.
No.
Anyway, here is Glenn Beck now warning his audience to protect their kids against the evils of Glee.
Our children do not have... They are not tethered to anything. That we are tethered by a thread because of how we were raised. We remember our grandparents. And you have to be uber vigilant.
No,
our
I...
whole culture...
my grandparents were dead.
Up. For you and the values that we grew up on to lose. I don't know if you've ever seen the TV show Glee, but this show stands out and stands for almost every value that I have. I've seen this episode or this show twice with my wife this year, and I've watched it in stunned horror combined with a sense of admiring awe.
And
it is a brilliant, brilliant show.
And an erection. Now, the...
Oh, man!
You're not in trouble with that.
I'm joking. Anyway, Beck is upset that Glee has turned him gay. No, Beck is upset that Glee characters are bad role models, not for his kids, but for him.
It is a horror show. If you've never seen it, it's about a high school glee club. All of the characters are extremely good-looking, extremely talented.
Very attractive.
Everybody in here is somebody that your kids would want to be like.
Yeah,
except everybody is sleeping with everybody else. There's no values. It's all self-gratification. It's a nightmare.
Okay. Now, I thought he said here in the earlier clip that these kids all stood for values that he stands for. Didn't he say something like that?
Yeah, I thought you're going to have to play it again, though.
It ain't worth it. All right. Beck accuses Glee of propagandizing the viewers because via a performance of My Chemical Romance song,
There is no way to beat this. There is no way to beat this.
Is he holding his penis?
Will you shut up?
I'm just making a joke.
Don't make a joke like that, Jack. Can get me in serious trouble. Was he holding his... Here we go.
There is no way to beat this. There is no way to beat this. Pay attention to the lyrics. This is Sing by Chemical Romance.
Thank you.
Cleaned up. Corporation progress. Dying in the process. Children that can talk about it. Living in the railways. People moving sideways. Sell it to your last days. Buy yourself the motivation generation. Nothing. Nothing but a dead scene. Product of a white dream. This is propaganda, and it's an anthem. It's an anthem saying, join us.
Are you gay?
All right, now, that really is Glenn at his quasi-best as he talks to you about the TV show Glee, or Glee could just be some show that kids dig that is reflective of a society that is increasingly more tolerant, for instance, of people who are gay in the person of those kids. Or, is a show that is reflective of music that has sounded that way for decades. Well, you know, the music that I grew up on, these guys that talk about the values of today, I understand that there are some bad values, but it has nothing to do with kids listening to songs about corporations because we've been doing that for years, man. Anybody remember a song called Money by Pink Floyd? Well, I was anti-capitalist, and boy, I'll tell you, Pink Floyd, now, there were some anti-capitalists. Yeah, sure. Anybody remember songs by the Beatles talking about how, money is nowhere and love and, those guys were anti-capitalists, too. I mean, are you kidding me or what? That's why a lot of people, including myself, think that Glenn is a very talented performer on television, but the crap he talks about, man, you don't believe that stuff. In a word, it's
cat urine.
That's what, I think. Were we supposed to break? Have I not broken? Have I not breaked it? Do I need to break it? Do I break? Yes, I do have to break. All right, sorry, guys. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show. I forgot. I didn't know. I wasn't, I was concentrating too much on the
cat urine
I was listening to. We'll be back. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show. For patriots, by patriots, it's the Phil Henry Show.
Hey, welcome back to World Famous Phil Henry Show. It's our news and information hour here with Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard. And we have a story here. It's called Docs Warn Men with Mental Short Penis Syndrome Against Unproven Pills, Creams, Pumps, and Surgery. Mental Short Penis Syndrome, or in the words of Glenn Beck,
there is no way to beat this.
Now, anyway, according to the researchers... Shut up.
You're bad.
Shut up. According to the researchers, men couldn't be concerned with their perceived... Men should not be concerned with their perceived genital shortcomings. Men with short penis syndrome often have perfectly average-sized genitalia, but believe strongly that they are inadequate.
There is no way to beat this.
Now then... Penile size is a matter of great interest among men who are affected by short penis syndrome or just believe themselves to have a short or small or tiny or dinky or minuscule or...
Are you gay?
Penis. anyway, even though the dimensions of the organ fall well within the normal range. What do you think the normal range is, Robert?
I don't know. What do you ask me for?
Well, I'm just, you guys would probably be surprised.
Probably like 7 inches.
No, man, not even close. 3 inches.
Three?
Get out of here. Anyway, researchers at the Mayo Clinic are warning men who are obsessed with the size of their penises to think twice before investing time and money into pills, pumps, and procedures that are likely to disappoint as they are to cause harm. You know what I'd like to get as a sponsor on that show that this extends? Have you seen that?
Yeah, I've seen that on TV with Jimmy Johnson.
Jimmy Johnson, the coach, he does a whole series of commercials.
Yeah, but nobody believes he really got to use it or anything, do you?
Yeah, if he says he does, he does.
What is that?
I don't know. I have no idea what it is. But I would say he's a fairly significant spokesperson. Now, I don't know what this stuff does, but if he's using it and he says it works, but what is it supposed to do? Is it supposed to make a guy's thing...
supposed to make it gigantic, I think.
What do you mean gigantic?
Well, I don't know. I think it like to make it bigger or something.
Well, anyway, so what is normal? Here is the Mayo Clinic's definition of what is normal. While there are variations, many sources say the average penis measures between 3 and 4 inches.
There is no way to beat this,
said Glenn when he took a look. No, I'm kidding. And then, give me that. I'll read it.
You're getting in trouble.
Don't grab the copy from me. So, anyway, Glenn says that his is 3 to 4 inches. So it's 3 and 4 inches, and then when flaccid, and between 5 and 7 inches when erect. As more and more... What are you doing with that tape measure? Give me that. In any event, as more and more men are exposed to magazines and websites filled with ads for penile enlargers, male body issues are on the rise. On the rise? Male issues are on the rise. Experts say pornography doesn't help either because they, a lot of the guys in the porny movies.
Yeah, those guys, man, are like John Holm or something.
Exactly. I mean, come on, Donkey Kong. Give me a break here. So, they don't measure up to the extra endowed stars on the screen. We equate masculinity and power with penis size. Now, I will tell you this. This is a very interesting story. Do we have time? You guys probably know that there are these hillside carvings in South America. You've seen those from these aerial carvings that look like insects. These aerial they call them aerial, and they're huge, and they're very ancient. In northern England, up near what used to be called Hadrian's Wall, which was a wall built by the Roman soldiers to keep the very wild tribes of Scotland, the Picts and the Scots, out of the Roman province of Britannia. Now, on the side of a hill up there is carved the image of Hercules, a Roman god, and his appendage, if you will, his manhood, his endowment, his penis is enormous.
Really?
Yeah, it's and the guy from the TV show is watching. Says, and you can see the very obvious virility there of whatever, you know.
Sounded like he was distracted.
He sounded a little distracted, you know. And then he looked at it and said,
"There is no way to beat this."
And they went to commercial. We'll be back. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. For Patriots, by Patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
And welcome back, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. If you want a podcast of tonight's show, all you have to do is go sign up for a backstage pass. You'll get daily podcasts of the Phil Hendry Show at iTunes, and you can sign up for them through our website. And we also have Classic Phils. These are our classic podcasts that are free. And we have a great many other things at our website, philhendryshow.com, including the brand-new Phil Hendry Show T-shirt. Get over there. Do it. Superman renounces his U.S. citizenship in the latest issue of Superman, The world's most famous, I thought this said the world's most famous chimpanzee of truth, you know?
Yeah, it looks a little weird.
That don't say chimpanzee.
It just read that way to me. It just for some reason, the world's most famous chimpanzee of truth. No, the world's most famous champion of truth, justice, and the American way, which they don't say anymore, or they used to say it on the TV show, anyway, intends to renounce his U.S. citizenship. Superman makes the shocking pronouncement in this week's Action Comics number 900. Truth, justice, and the American way, it's not enough anymore, the Man of Steel tells the president, the president's national security advisor. I intend to speak before the United Nations tomorrow and inform them that I am renouncing my U.S. citizenship. He made the declaration after his protection of protesters in Iran became an international incident. I'm tired of having my actions construed as instruments of U.S. policy, he says, explaining that he wants to help wherever and whenever he's needed. I've been thinking too small. I realize that now. Oh, that's great, Superman. That's great.
Boy, what a traitor.
So you were saved by Ma and Pa Kent. You know that, don't you? You know?
That doesn't make any difference.
Why doesn't that make any difference?
Because he was Superboy. What do you think? Nothing's going to happen to him bad. You know?
Oh, nothing's going to happen to him bad? I mean, if he was found by people, he was found by a couple of Americans. If he'd been found by a couple of Russians or Chinese, something different would have happened. They would have had him in a laboratory, man.
Yeah, but he would have busted out. They would have busted him out.
No, they wouldn't. He would have busted out. He would have been under the influence of whoever, you know, because he was a kid. He was a kid that could pick up cars.
Yeah, the Chinese would probably make him pick up cars and stuff for the circus or something.
What do you mean circus, man? The Chinese would probably have him, like, be a military guy or something, maybe.
Yeah, that's great, man. That's what the Chinese would do.
But what do you think Americans did? Americans did the same thing.
Americans let him choose what he wanted to do. He decided to go out and fight crime. Nobody forced him to do that.
Well, sort of they did on account of Ma and Pa Kent.
They didn't force him to do anything, man. If you want to know who forced him, it was that, what's the name of his old man?
What?
His dad.
Pa Kent.
Not Pa Kent. The guy from Krypton.
Oh, Jor-El or Jarhead or Jor-El.
Jarhead.
Not Jarhead. I'm going to belt you. Jor-El, yeah. Jor-El.
Jor-El.
No, Jor-El.
Jor-El? Jor-El.
What are you doing, man?
Speaking Spanish.
I swear to God, bud, when you wake up tomorrow morning and you find your nose caved in, what are you going to think?
Somebody was sitting on it.
All right.
Get out of here, man.
Jor-El, okay?
Yeah.
All right. When he went up to the North Pole, what am I doing talking about this? Anyway, he went up to the North Pole, and his father, Jor-El, he'd pull up those crystals, and he would tell him, you've got to be a good man, and you have to help the humanity, and we're sending you to Earth. Didn't he say that? Didn't he say they were sending him to Earth?
Well, I don't know if they sent him to Earth or not on purpose. I thought he just landed there like Sigourney Weaver done.
Like Sigourney Weaver done?
Yeah, after she blew up the alien.
She didn't just land on Earth, man. She knew she was headed back to Earth. She had it all programmed in. Remember, she says, the frontier will pick me up in 6 weeks or some crap like that. I don't know. So Superman, what are you, man? All of a sudden, some code pink jive ass? What are you talking about, man? You're a Yank. You want to know why? Because Jor-El knew he was sending you to Earth so you could land on in America. Any other country, you would have been either a bean farmer or you would have been in the Chinese military or the Russians, God forbid. They probably would have made you an astronaut or something. Who knows what they would have done to you? Or the Brit? I don't know. This was the best place you could be. And how do you pay us back? You renounce your U.S. citizenship because you want to be all code pink about stuff.
Yeah, being code pink. He just don't want to be, you know, misunderstood.
Oh, well, ain't that just too bad. In a statement to the Post, DC Comics co-publishers Jim Lee and Dan Didio said that despite the global outlook, the character is and always will be a red-blooded American at heart. Superman is a visitor from a distant planet who has long embraced American values. As a character and icon, he embodies the best. In a short story in Action Comics 900, Superman announces his intention to put a global focus on his never-ending battle, but he remains, as always, committed to his adopted home and his roots as a Kansas farm boy from Smallville. Bull crap. Superman, you just took a very, very high, high-octane pee on Pa Kent's grave.
Yeah. I bet you when Superman goes, man, it
Probably makes plants grow a mile high or something.
Maybe. Maybe. The story isn't expected to have any repercussions in the Superman line of comics. It's unclear whether he actually follows through with the pronouncement. Besides being riddled with a blatant lack of patriotism and respect for our country, Superman's current creators are belittling the United States as a whole. By denouncing his citizenship, Superman becomes an eerie metaphor for the current economic and power status the country holds worldwide. No kidding, said Hollywood publicist and GOP activist Angie Meyer as she was talking to Fox 411's Pop-Tarts column, Thank You. All we need to hear now is that Superman has renounced his citizenship and Hannibal Lecter has decided to apply for U.S. citizenship.
Yeah, and they'll give it to him.
I just think that they're shockingly, here on Radio 4 Patriots by Patriots, shockingly, after 9/11, as many people turned more toward a love of this country in a very active way, people like myself, there were other people, and I believe it's fear, I think it's fear-driven, there were other people who suddenly decided that because of the violence inflicted on 9/11, we needed to become cooler and more chill with the planet. We needed to get with it and become more one world. We needed to be groovy with the green thing. We needed to make sure that the animals were all right. We needed to make sure that we were kissing the ass of, excuse me for saying this, but every Muslim that we saw. I mean, you know, I don't have anything against Muslims, but does that mean that we go over the top and suddenly, oh, I mean, dude, this was not the people of a faith attacking this country. These were psychopaths, members of a gang. And because they did what they did, all of a sudden we had to become much more aware of Islam. I never did understand that. We went we fell all over ourselves, trying to make sure that the world saw us as really cool and that we weren't, you know, scumbags and everybody loved us. And all we did is we lost ourselves. The world doesn't look to America to kiss anybody's ass. The world looks to America because they know we go our own way. And they know we do what we want to do. And they know that whatever we do decide, it's generally a good thing. And the world looks to that. They look for that example. But we lost our way. We decided that we need to look to the world for our example. Well, there's nothing out there to give us any example. We left that world behind. We left that world behind 250 years ago. And we said we want no more part of that world. We are the new world. We are the future world. We're Americans. There's nothing there for us. There's nothing in Europe. There's nothing in Asia. There's nothing anywhere for us. Here is where it is. Now, of course, if we want to understand culture and history, if we want to take a vacation, if we want to relax, if we want to enjoy the sights, the sounds, the smells, if we want to be in love with our planet, of course we travel and we visit and we see, and everyone should. But when it comes to a vision of the future, where to take our country, there ain't nothing to learn from these people. And we've lost our way by thinking that there is. What we need to do is start looking back on our own forebears, other Americans who showed the way by inventing, by fighting, by creating, by conceptualizing, by showing a future generations of Americans what it was to be an American. We create. We make. We stop doing that. We let the Chinese make it now. And why do we do that? Because we're cheap. That's right. I said it. We're cheap. And I'll tell you one other thing, and I say this with the greatest of respect. You know Detroit, and I'm not knocking the city, but I see all these commercials now for Made in American cars. Yeah, that's great. That's fantastic. I look forward to it. You know what? But I ain't going to believe it until I see it, okay? And all of these commercials ain't going to convince me otherwise. All right. So you guys, I saw the ad today. I think, I don't know what the car was. They said, you know what? We're not going to ask you to drop your standards. We're going to make a better car, and that doesn't mean you have to drop your standards or you have to, okay, really? Well, great. Let's get back to being proud of what we make. In any event, I say all of that to say that Superman should be arrested and put to death. All right.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you very much. In other news, You look at Superman, you do whatever you got to do, man. I don't care. I've never really, I don't really like the things you do. I don't like your costume. I don't like the way you butt into certain situations. Right when a cop has got something wrapped up, here you come. Boo! Landing, embarrassing the cop.
Yeah, I always make the cop look stupid.
You're always making cops look bad. Oh, don't worry about it. I'll take care of it. You come flying in. Cop is standing there. Look, I'm just about ready to write the ticket, and here comes Superman. State Representative Sally Kern apologizes for sexist, racist accusations, claim black women don't work as hard as white men. Now, that's a woman saying this, and it might be interesting to find out the actual context here from Sally Kern as she made these statements about blacks and women and so on and so forth. Here is Representative Sally Kern during a debate on Wednesday. Oklahoma Representative Sally Kern suggesting black people are in jail in high numbers because they're lazy students. Dig this.
In prison, there's more black people. Yes, there are, and that's tragic. But the other side of the story, perhaps we need to consider, is this just because they're black that they're in prison? Or could it be because they didn't want to work hard in school? And white people oftentimes don't want to work hard in school, or Asians oftentimes.
Yeah.
But a lot of times, yeah, that's what happens. I taught school for 20 years, and I saw a lot of people of color who didn't want to work as hard. They wanted it given
mm-hmm.
to them.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, I had one student that said, I don't need to study. You know why? The government's going to take care of me.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great, Sally. Representative Kern then takes on women workers.
You see, women usually don't want to work as hard as a man because, I mean, now get me, wait a minute. Now listen to me. Women.
Why do they want to listen to you, you stupid bitch? Nobody wants to listen to you.
I do.
All right.
You see, women usually don't want to work as hard as a man because, I mean, now get me, wait a minute. Now listen to me. Women, hang on. Women tend to think a little bit more about their family, wanting to be at home more time, wanting to have a little more leisure time.
God.
That's all I mean.
I'm not saying
women don't work hard. I think women work very hard, so don't take that the wrong way. But that's factors you have to keep in mind. Okay, women like to be willing to have a moderate work life with plenty of time for spouse and children and other things like that. That's all I meant, okay?
You're an idiot. You're an idiot. How you got elected? Listening to people like this, and then what's happening in this modern society of ours, they're doing this. They're saying, now, you see, blacks are lazy and stupid and drug addicted. Now, hold on, I'm not a racist. And blacks tend not, you heard what this stupid bitch said. Blacks tend not, here's the reason why I get angry with this, folks. Now listen to this, because I'm about to tell you something you can take to the bank. As conservatives, you want to know who does more damage to this movement? Idiots like this, and these birther jackasses. Now, the truth movement is to liberals what the birth movement was to the conservative. Here's a problem, though. Where the truthers can't find anybody really prominent. They can't get anybody more prominent than Jesse the Body Ventura, who ain't prominent. That guy, the only thing prominent about him are the dents in his head. He's about as prominent a liberal, if you want to call him that they can get who supports the truth movement. But the freaking conservatives, man, we got Donald Trump out there making it mainstream in 12 hours. Who needs it? This conservative movement. Forget about what forget what the liberals are doing. Liberals are stupid. They know it. Liberals make more mistakes. They fumble history. They're just as inarticulate and inelegant as conservatives. But it's not an argument and never will be an argument to say, well, liberals do it. That's not an argument. That's why I take exception to guys like Hannity. Hannity is always saying, boy, when these liberals do it, nobody says anything. Let's forget that argument, okay? Because it doesn't move the conservative movement ahead at all. All it does is make us look like a bunch of children who are pointing fingers and saying, well, they get to do it. How come we don't? The fact of the matter is that when someone like this opens the pie hole under her nose and spills out this stuff, here comes more stupid. Here comes more dumb. Here comes more. Look at these conservatives. Now, what that woman said, and I don't need anybody to explain it to me. What she said was unacceptable. It was inartfully delivered. No one would understand in a million years what that dumb bitch is trying to say. And what she eventually wound up doing is alienating another portion. And somebody's got to come along and clean that one up. And it doesn't make any difference if the liberals have just as many imbeciles as her, and they do, because it's not an argument to say if they do it, we get to do it. Where does that leave the country? Oh, we're run by two camps of some of the dumbest human beings that this country has ever seen. You talk about the founders. You talk about the greatest generation. You talk about the generation that moved us through the Industrial Revolution. You talk about the generation of Americans that went off to fight World War I. You talk about the Civil War and the courage and the guts that it took to hold this country together. And then you got us. And about the only thing that's good about this generation, guess where are they? They're all over in Iraq and Afghanistan right now. That's the best Americans we got are over there. And I'm telling you right now, history teaches us veterans, combat veterans, war veterans, are a significant group of people to have to deal with once they come home. Ask the Germans after World War I. Look at America after World War II. Look at the veterans, the movement of veterans that came home and took charge of American affairs. And I, frankly, look forward to the return of these young men and women from Iraq and Afghanistan, because I think that's the only thing. Those are the only people that are going to make any sense at all out of this jive-ass, jackass, this three-ring circus we got going over here right now. Because we really do need some smart people, and we need some people with some guts. And we need Americans. And, man, are we short on those. And some dumbass standing there with the blacks. You know what, lady? If you think women like to sit on their ass and take care of kids and bake pies, I tell you what, that sounds like a good job for you. All right, coming up, we're going to introduce you to a grade-A douchebag, Wes DeSoto. That's right. Who is he? You'll find out here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show. Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show.
Just a little bit of time here, but the FBI has raided the Los Angeles apartment of a Screen Actors Guild member. The Bureau believes he was the first to upload the Oscar-winning movie The King's Speech, as well as The Black Swan, and other in-theater-only films to the Pirate Bay in January, which is a site that basically steals people's work and disseminates it to the world. Pirate Bay, whose principals were sentenced to prison, whose principals were fined, and actually they appealed both sentences, and they had the prison terms reduced, but they had the fines increased. So it probably wasn't the brightest appeal in the world, because they happen to be in jail right now. Now, this scum was taking these Hollywood movies and making them available to people. They just got done doing battle with Hollywood, and they're back at it again. The Tuesday raid of Wes DeSoto is the name of this jackball. The Tuesday raid of Wes DeSoto's apartment came months after the Guild and the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences both lauded the King's Speech with top acting and top picture awards. The authorities are also investigating whether there's a link between DeSoto and the notorious Pirate Bay pre-release movie uploading group called TIMPE. DeSoto basically admitted what he does with this quote. Listen to this. He said, quote, "I'm nobody in the online file-sharing world. This investigation is excessive and a waste of tax dollars," end of quote. That basically means, yes, I did do it. Doesn't it, Wes? And when, I'll tell you something, DeSoto, when you do this, and you're a member of the Screen Actors Guild, when you do this, you enable artists like you to be ripped off. People who probably have the same income as you to be ripped off. People who have a little bit of a copyright hold on something, a little bit of a trademark hold on something, and scumbags like you, you cheap creep, enabling a Pirate Bay whose principals are probably living the life, you help those guys steal from smaller artists. So have fun, man, in jail. Okay? World famous Phil Henry Show is produced by Jason Rance. Technical director is John Ilk, and our associate producer is Dan Northcraft. Don't forget to visit www.philhenryshow.com for all of your Phil Henry Show needs. Until tonight, never mind.
Phil Hendry.